This is Scott Wells for The Magic Word, and we're in Marshall, Michigan at the American Museum of Magic, and today I am here with Hannah. Hello, Hannah.
Hello.
And you are the administrator. What exactly
are we? I'm one of the interns at the museum.
Interns.
Yes.
And so you get weekend duty since we're here on a Sunday following the...
I work every day of the
every
week.
Every day. So you never don't get any time off at all.
Usually we have Sundays and Mondays off, but because this is the busiest week
right.
of the year with all of the magicians, I'm working here today.
Right. Because now we're following the Abbott's Get Together, for those of you who are just tuning in to listen just to this one episode. Well, tell me something, Hannah, then, about this. I mean, I had been back here in 84 when Bob Lund was here and took us on the tour downstairs and all the rest, but tell me what all is going on with the museum. Tell them
this museum, it's the first time it's really been open to the public. It was actually started by Bob and Elaine Lund.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was always an avid collector of anything that had to do with magic. Eventually, he had so much stuff, which you can really see if you ever come here. Most of these items that you see were all in their home. So I'm sure after a lovely discussion between him and the missus, they bought a property here in Marshall in 1978. And it's been pretty much unchanged.
Mm-hmm.
What really made this accessible, though, is when he passed away in 1996, Elaine allowed this to become a nonprofit museum. So we're really striving to make this more open to the public so everyone can enjoy what's in here.
And how do you go about promoting the American Museum of Magic? I mean, it's that way tourists know this is a place to stop.
Well, we have more flyers out, and you can find them all over the place, especially in any rest stop that you can see. They're everywhere. We also have had a fundraiser. We had a magic gala a few weeks ago where we had three magicians, including Doc Eason, that were performing, and that really proved to be very successful. And we're making small steps like that. You know, just have more open days, more free days, open on Sundays, where you can come in here from 10 to 2, and if you're registered with Abbott's, you get in for free.
Mm-hmm.
Always awesome. Everybody loves free.
Otherwise, it's how much?
$5 for adults and $3.50 for kids.
Now, tell me about the tour. I mean, that you give a little bit of a tour, so give me just kind of a synopsis of some of the high points and things that people should see or shouldn't miss.
For a synopsis, I usually give an intro as to why this museum is here in the first place.
Which is?
Because Bob and Elaine Lund,
yeah.
They grew up in Michigan. They really wanted a place where they could retire and display all of this stuff. And they got a great deal in Marshall, and it just worked out for them. Also, magic is really important in Michigan. We have a Magicians of Michigan area that's all about Blackstone and the famous locals from this area. And we would describe why Colon, Michigan is so important, also known as the magic capital of the country. And then we highlight some other famous magicians like Sorcar, the Indian magician Chung Ling Su, one of the famous Chinese conjurers that's not as
really
Chinese as you think.
Yeah.
A lot of Houdini pieces. We have the trunk that he escaped from on the Detroit River. And then we even have a guillotine that was actually used in tours until the 1990s.
Bob had used me on that. I've got a video of that
fun.
Somewhere if I could find it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I could see why they don't use it anymore.
Yes.
I'm sure that scared people.
It was rather frightful, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then we have the upstairs, too, where you can really get closer with some of the props that we have. And I always like to talk about how magic has transformed. It's really evolved.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a lot of these props, you think, well, it's kind of easy to figure out the trick. But you have to remember, this is how magic really started. Blackstone and people like that were really the origins of a lot of these magic tricks that you see magicians perform today.
Right.
And a lot of times you wouldn't be able to get this close up to a lot of these props.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be able to actually see how some of these amazing props work.
What's one of your favorites?
I have to say I love the guillotine, just because I can see Bob Lund really enjoying that.
He did. There was a twinkle in his eye.
Oh, yeah. I can see him just being like, yay! I really like this Kastner playbill that's upstairs. He was actually a Jewish magician, and he performed during World War II in Germany, and then he had to flee.
Mm-hmm.
But most of his props and his playbills got destroyed, and it's absolutely beautiful up there.
I thought Kastner was Hitler's magician. No?
No. Definitely the opposite, if anything. I don't think they were fun little buddies at that time.
Klingsor is who I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yes.
Because okay. They both start with a K, okay.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of magicians with the name K over that period.
So you like the Kastner playbill or poster upstairs.
Yes.
Anything else? I mean, there really aren't any props. Most of it's all paper.
It's a lot of playbills. Mm-hmm. It really is. You really have to have a deep interest in magic.
Right.
To have a lot of interest in here. But there are some worthwhile things to see as well.
Well, like the traveling magician, of course. Statue over there, which there are only a handful of those.
Yeah, and there's the Le Grand David statue. There's only three in existence ever, and it's right as soon as you walk in
and
the doors.
And Bob was like best friends with Cesario also. I know they were very close, it seemed
he was
like.
Friends with a lot of magicians.
Yes.
Claire Cummings, who was Milky the Clown, David Copperfield, Teller from Penn and Teller. It just goes on and on and on.
And so I recall also him having like files of magicians and everything that were down the basement. They moved this over to the library.
Yes.
They got a different location then now. It's part of this?
Yep.
Okay.
The archives are still there. You do have to set up an appointment to be able to explore them.
Not open today?
Not open today unless
Rats.
unless you call. Unless you call or you baby talk one of us maybe.
Yeah.
But if you were a magician that even performed once and you got published, odds are you have a file over there.
Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely a perfectionist about that file. Almost every magician that's ever been heard of is over there.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it used to be in the basement, so now they've got that
over
there. Yeah,
now it's in a much less scary and sketchy-looking area. You don't have to feel like you're invading someone's basement to really look at them.
When I was here 2 years ago, they had recovered some of the things that were in part of a flood that were in the basement.
Yes.
They were just cleaning that out and getting it all. So tell me about that, what's happening.
Well, it's been mostly cleaned up. You can barely even tell that ever happened.
Yeah.
We don't have as many pieces down in the basement anymore just because we're afraid that a flood will happen again. We do have a couple automatons we're trying to work on. They really got damaged from the flood. But you know, we saved most of it. We did. They did a really good job of saving the pieces that were down there at the time.
Right. And there is a group or administrative body over the museum. How does this operate?
It's a board. Every nonprofit, any nonprofit has to have a board.
Mm-hmm.
And what the board does is it's kind of the head of the museum. Before any major decision is made, it has to go through the board, much like any governmental position. Think of them as like a House of Representatives. That way, you know, if you have one director that just is completely thinking against everyone else, he can't go too far, and vice versa.
Okay. And this has been open again for how long? Since when did the doors open?
Publicly, in the regularized hours, it's been about 3 or 4 years that it's been like this.
Okay. And prior to that, that was just by appointment only, as I recall.
Just appointment.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think it's still by appointment, which is not the case.
So you can just show up.
Yeah, you can just show up any time from 10 to 4, unless it's Sunday or Monday. Then it'll be eerily quiet for you.
Hannah, thank you very much. Now, the title of this podcast is called The Magic Word. So my question to you now is, what is your magic word?
Sim-sim-salabim.
There you go. That was Hannah here at the American Museum of Magic in Marshall, Michigan. Scotty out. All right, well, Scott Wells, The Magic Word, back again here, and we are continuing our tour, actually, with the American Museum of Magic, and we've gone across the street over to, I guess it's an old library, but more importantly, I'm here then with the director. You're our director, is that right?
I am.
Yep, Jeff Taylor, who is here with me today. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, thank you, and I'm appreciating you giving us this little brief tour of kind of the back room over here, I guess, that's
We're
kind of a secret place.
Yes, it is.
That everybody gets to see the room. Tell us a little bit about this part of the museum. Hannah told us about Bob's part over there, but this is where this is the underbelly, it seems.
Well, it is. This is all of the material in this building was at one point housed at the museum itself.
Mm-hmm.
After Bob passed away, I think Elaine wanted a little more elbow room, so she purchased this building and moved Bob's library, moved the archives that were in the basement, and any number of other things over here. And so this has become kind of a multi-purpose building for us. We use it as an office to hold meetings. We, of course, we store everything here, but we also use it as a workspace for our summer interns.
And what do the interns do? Hannah was an intern, I guess she was telling me.
Yes,
so, okay.
Yes, she is. The past couple summers, we've had students come in to catalog the posters that we have in the collection. Last summer, we had students begin working on a large photograph collection, the Irving Desfort collection.
Yes.
We had them do some organization, but begin some cataloging of those images. Our ultimate goal is to have all of this stuff And the computer, so we can access it much easier.
You mean scanned and everything as well? I mean, like all of the promotional brochures?
Ideally, yes. Yeah. Get the photographs in, get all of the promotional archival material in, get all the books listed, have that all just at our fingertips on the computer.
Now, the people who are students that are the interns, what are they majoring in? Like library science or something?
A little bit of everything. Okay. We've actually had graduate students from archival programs. Mm-hmm. We've had museum studies students. The two that we have this year, one is still an undergrad but looking at museum studies next year, and a public history graduate student this year. So all of them somehow museum related.
Right. Now let's go over to some of the archives we've got over here. You just said a little bit earlier that they have not been kept up really since Bob Lund had passed away back in the 90s. So
That's right. You know, when Bob had everybody knew Bob. Bob had a lot of personal connections.
Right.
When he passed away, a lot of that was lost. And certainly when Elaine passed away, a lot of that was lost. So really, somewhat since Bob's passing away, and even more so since Elaine's passing away, we haven't actively acquired material to put in those files. But we are still very interested in them.
We're still
here and running. Absolutely. So, if people have the flyer from the show they did last month or something like that, we would love to put that in their file.
Right.
Bob's rule was that he needed three things from a person. He needed, a photo, a flyer, a newspaper clipping, anything. As long as he had three things that mentioned somebody, he'd create a file on that person. And, we're happy to continue that tradition.
And so where can people send them?
I send them here to the museum, P.O. Box 5, Marshall, Michigan, 49068.
There we go. And to your attention, to Jeff Taylor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you just send it to P.O. Box 5, to the museum. Someone will know what to do with them.
Does the museum also have a website?
We do, AmericanMuseumOfMagic.org, or follow us on Facebook. We love to have those Facebook friends as well.
I'm sure a lot of people post pictures on there all the time.
Yeah,
their
they do. And anything that we have going on here at the museum, we bring magicians in every now and then to perform. As I mentioned, we had Doc Eason, Rick Merrill, and Tim Wright here just 2 weeks ago. So
was it a fundraiser or what was it?
That was a fundraiser for the museum. Doc actually spent a couple hours at the front desk of the museum, so people just coming in off the street could stop in and see Doc do some great...
Like a bar magic. Perfect area.
Except no alcohol in the museum. So.
Yes.
But everything else. Yeah. He did a great job, and then he performed at our evening show as well. We've had... a guy named Jeff Groh from New York, who also does bar magic, has been here. Darren Hart from Las Vegas, who does a lot of trade show work, has been here. And just doing, they've done evening performances, but they've also just spent time at the front desk. So it's a great way to, get to see a phenomenal magician up close and personal.
Are you looking for and soliciting acts to come and help and donate their time so that help raise money? Or?
Always.
Okay.
We've been doing, last year we did doing it again this year, October being Magic Month.
Right.
We've had a performer in every Saturday. Everything from performers to, storytellers for little kids that might do something about magic. But we're always looking for people that are interested.
How far in advance do people need to contact you so you can start promoting it?
Well, you can call me anytime. So we can start talking about when might work best, both for us and, of course, for the performer. Mm-hmm. So,
and the phone number?
269-781-7570. Or you can always reach us through the website or contact us through Facebook, whatever's.
Mm-hmm.
My direct email is jtaylor@AmericanMuseumOfMagic.org. Love to have performers in. We are a magic museum. And I'm not a performer. I'm not a magician. So, helps to have a real expert in. So, and we love having people come in.
And how is it, a regular theater where they're performing typically in the evening? Or
It just sort of depends on what's going on. I mean, Jeff Groh, when he was here, he had actually arranged was a separate arrangement, but he performed at a 200-seat theater right next door to the museum. We've had the performers we had in for October last year were local performers from the Marshall area, and they performed up on the second floor of the museum. So it was for a sort of a small crowd.
Right.
When we've had the close-up stuff at the front desk, you know, we've packed all kinds of people around there and rotated them through.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sort of depends on the individual, what kind of show they want, they do, whether it's more of a, you know, stage performance or a close-up thing. But, you know, we're looking more and more to get performance here in the museum. And, you know, there's lots of ways we can do that, of course.
I have a rather bizarre question to ask you, but I have heard that there are some spirits that might that have been seen or known to have walked the halls of the American Museum of Magic.
I don't know where you heard that. I have not heard that, and
okay.
I've been in both buildings all hours of the night, and I'm afraid that haven't seen anything.
Okay, well,
or heard anything, or so.
Okay.
Yeah, can't say that.
I just wondered if people were kind of coming back and looking and visiting some of their friends. You know.
Well, they're more than welcome to. You know, they are more
the spirits
than welcome
can come.
To. Absolutely, and if the spirits are listening to this podcast, by all means, contact me. You don't need to use email. You can just tap me on the shoulder at night. I'd love to talk with them. So,
yeah. Anything else that you want to mention about the museum that makes this particularly special or different? This is the only one I can think of that's open to the public in the United States.
Well, that is true. You know, there are, I think, is there a Houdini Museum in Pennsylvania?
Yes, in Scranton.
The museum in Wisconsin has an area dedicated to Houdini as well. But this is the only museum that, you know, covers everything.
Right.
And it's the American Museum of Magic, but it's not the Museum of American Magic. So we have plenty of material on, international magicians as well. So we encourage people to come see us. And if, you know, our hours are somewhat limited. We tend to be, we're seasonal right now. Mm-hmm. As Bob initially set it up, April Fool's Day to Halloween are our operating times.
Yeah.
But I'm always here, so phone call and email, I'm happy to bring anybody through the museum, whether it's one person or
right.
20 or whatever.
Especially when someone comes so far.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. We're a museum, and a lot of people think that museums are just about taking care of old things. Museums are educational institutions, and so that's what we're here for, is to educate folks.
That's a lot. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, whether it's people like yourselves that know about magic, we still hope you're going to learn something, or whether it's that person that, you know, can't even name a magician, we're hoping to teach them a little something, too, and hopefully be entertained at the same
right.
time.
And like in this building in particular, where that you have access to a lot of these archives, you have people, I guess, kind of come in. I see you have a desk over there. They can pull things out.
We do. Access to this building is much more limited. We require people contact us ahead of time, just because we don't have the staffing to
yeah.
operate.
And your heat works really well in the summertime here, too, by the way.
The heat works great in the summertime. It costs us a lot more in the winter to heat this building. So if people are interested in doing historical research and they want to come and do it, they have to let us know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to be specific. I've had people say, oh, I'm looking for information on sleight of hand. Well, that's a big subject,
right.
and the way Bob organized things was alphabetical by performer. So, you know, say, oh, I'm looking for this particular performer, or because I know that performer did this particular trick or illusion. So
mm-hmm.
If we can be specific that way, that helps. But we're happy to help you out any way we can.
Great. Well, Jeff Taylor, thank you very much. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, and so let me ask you, what is your magic word?
You know, I've learned a lot of them, but the one that I think is really great that I see every day when I walk in is Simsalabim, Dante's. So I think that's a great one.
That's the same thing that Hannah said.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, she must have learned it from me.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's Jeff Taylor, and we're in the American Museum of Magic. And for now, Scotty out.